your Bibles and stand with me as we turn to Romans chapter 1. We begin our reading this morning in verse number 18. Romans chapter 1, no, verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. You there? Say amen. Amen. Enough of us. We're ready. Are you ready? Verse 8. Paul says this. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God, who is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Can we say that last phrase where it says, whom I serve in the spirit? I'm with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Can we say that together? Ready? Whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. I'll help you understand why we did that together in just a little bit. That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Verse 13, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that at Rome also. And the title of our message this morning is this, A Church on a Mission. A Church on a Mission. Lord willing, we'll know what I mean by that in just a little bit, but first we'll pray. We'll get right into our services. God, thank you so much. Thank you for what we've already sung, Lord, as a congregation, that we're saved by the blood. And then Pat, singing how that we're overwhelmed by your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Again, Lord, you know who we are. You know how undeserving we are of your grace. You know how wicked we are, and if we're honest with ourselves, we know who we are this morning. And we're thankful that you still sent your Son to come and die for us, that we might have a way to know you, that we might have a way to have our sins forgiven. We're thankful for what you've done in Robbie's life today and others in these last few weeks, and saving their soul, and their eternity is now different. And we're thankful for that. Help us to never get over the gospel and what you've done for us. And Lord, I pray that you bless this service today. Help me as I declare your word this morning, pray that you speak through me, please. And Christ in my prayer. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The church on a mission. So a mission is defined as a specific task with which a person or group is charged. Okay? Normally that's a military term, and so you have a commander, and they're given a charge, they're given a mission from the whoever's above them, and I don't know all the ranks, and I'm not going to try to figure that out. But then the commander gets the charge, and he'll give it to somebody else, and eventually get to the soldier, and the soldier has a mission. The soldier has a specific task that he has to accomplish, and if he does that task, then he has completed his mission. And that's what he does. And he's been trained. He's been trained from the beginning at boot camp to say, your will doesn't matter. And they're not being mean about it. Well, they might be a little bit mean about it. But really what they're trying to do is help them understand you need to be submissive to the mission that is given you. Not your mission. You're on the battlefield and you're seeing the scope and you feel like you might have an idea of what's best right now, but you need to be able to put your opinion aside and what you think is best aside, and you need to be fully committed to your mission. And if everybody does their mission, there's a good chance you win the war, right? And so that normally is a military term. It's also a term that we just use in everyday speech now. It talks about someone who's intense, if someone's on a mission. You ever said that before? Someone who's intense, they're focused, they've got a mission, you know. They have purpose, they have resolve, they're intense about their mission. I know Alex isn't here today, and I was going to embarrass him, but now he's not even here, so I can just talk about it. He's probably watching online. And Alex, he's a blessing. I love Alex. He's got a servant's heart. He's always ready to do something for others, and he's always willing to help. And one way that he helps is he makes me a cup of coffee. I love it. He loves doing it. And so he'll come to me and say, "Brother Chad, you want a cup of coffee?" And if you know me, usually, yes, I do have a cup of coffee already. Sorry. And I say, "Sorry, man, I already got a cup." But sometimes I don't yet. And if I don't, then the answer is yes, I do want a cup of coffee. And whenever he hears that, he's like, "Mission critical. I got it. Here's the mission." And he recognizes his task. And so he made his task the most important thing in his life right there. You can tell in his eyes. Something glares in his eyes. "I got my mission." And he will not let anything pull him away from his mission. And I watch his little gears turn in his mind, you know, and he's like, "Okay, I need first in the mission, find Brother Chad's cup." And that's a mission all by itself, because it's all over the building. I live right where am I? Over there. And so my cups migrate. So I have different cups all the time. And so he goes around looking for Brother Chad's cup, and then he'll find Brother Chad's cup, and he's like, "Okay, now I got to get to the Keurig in Brother Chad's office." And he gets there, and he'll blow by anybody in his path. I got a mission. And that's how he is. And it's not just my coffee. It's whatever we ask him to do. His mission. He's set. He's intense. He's on a mission. That man is, I always say, that man's on a mission. I don't know what he's doing, but usually he's on a mission. Or whenever the pastor says that kids can have candy from his office. Usually I don't hear him say that because I'll be in youth group or somewhere, but I know when pastor said that the kids can have candy from his office, because you see a handful of kids on a mission. You see them all. They never are they ever focused, but whenever it's time to get candy, they are focused, and they are going to do what you ask. They are undistractable from their mission, and they know. I know what's going on because you try to talk to them like, "Hey," and they don't even know who you are. Because why? Because they have their mission, and there is nothing. They have made their mission important to them, and there is nothing that is going to get between them and their mission, and that candy in pastor's office. And so that's what it means to be on a mission. You have a purpose. You have a specific task that is your mission that you have been given by whoever authority is above you. And so what's the church's mission? What is the church's mission? Well, first of all, what is a church? And we won't spend too long on this, but a church, in the Greek, the church is translated from a word called ekklesia, which is two words put together, which means a called out assembly of people. That's what it is. A church is a called out assembly of people. And so the church of God, our church, Valley Avenue Baptist Church, and any church that considers itself a church of God, God's church, is a group of people that have assembled together that are called out by God and given a specific purpose, a specific task, a specific mission. That's what a church is. And so then what is the purpose of Christ? And that's what the church does. A church is a called out body of people who are called to do the purposes of Christ. It's Christ's church. And so what's the purpose of Christ for the church? Well, Jesus told us in Matthew 28. If you can turn there if you'd like, but I'm going to read it right now, where Jesus called out his church to himself, his first church, the apostles, and he said this. He said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, this is Matthew 28, verse 18, saying, "All power is given unto me." Now that means all authority is given unto me. He's the ultimate authority. And then he's going to give them the authority, the mission, to say, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." Here's what it is. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." What does that mean? That means tell all nations the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell them about what I've done. This is after he has died. This is after he's rose from the dead. And now he calls his church together before he goes back to heaven. And he says, "Here's what I want you to do. Go tell all nations. Tell them about what I've done. Tell them about the gospel." And then he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's discipleship. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." And so the mission of the church, the purpose of the church, is this. See people saved, see those people that were saved, see them baptized, and then teach those people how to help other people be saved. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, the purpose of a church is to tell people about Christ and make little Christs and tell people about what Jesus done. The purpose of the church, the mission of the church is this. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus has done. I mean, if you ask and you go around and talk to people and say, what's the mission of the church? What's the purpose of a church? Why does the church exist anyway? You'll get a lot of answers, but oftentimes it'll come to like, well, the church is there to serve the community. That's why the church is there. And to help the community and to feed the poor and to donate things to people. And you know, there's a place for all of that. But I got to tell you, I'm not to be rude or anything, but that is not why we're here. The church is not here just to meet physical needs. And by the way, when Jesus came, he didn't come just to meet physical needs. Brother Chad, what are you talking about? He healed people all the time and he fed the 5,000, right? But whenever he did that, what did he do? What was the purpose of that? It was to tell them about their spiritual need. And the church is here to help people understand that they have a spiritual need. And we do serve the community, right? That's what we are here to do, but not necessarily in the ways that people feel like a church is supposed to. The way we serve our community is by helping them see their spiritual need. That's what we're all about. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that, what I said earlier, that there is another life coming. There is this life, but this life is not the end. And as we sang the song, millions grope in darkness. Now, there's not millions here in Falls City. There are thousands, though. And there are, as you leave this place and you walk around the city and you see people, there's a good chance that they do not know the saving blood of Christ. There's a good chance of that. And there's a good chance you'll see them, and if they were to die today, they would spend eternity in a place called hell. That's a reality. That's our mission. Our mission is to help people see their spiritual need. Our mission is to introduce the lost to God and what he has done for them. And Paul, you know, here in Romans 1, he's talking about the gospel, and he's actually going to spend 4 chapters explaining the gospel, explaining this reality that mankind is lost in sin. That mankind, listen, he'll say it in chapter 3, that we are all sinners. There's none good. And if you go around asking people, those same people that I said, if they were to die today, they would probably not go to heaven forever. If you were to ask them, if you were to die today, would you be in heaven forever? And most of them will say, yeah, I think so. And then you ask them, okay, well, how do you know? Well, I mean, I've done a couple of good things. I've not killed anybody. And you know, if you put all my good things on one side and my bad things on the other side, I feel like I have done more good than bad. And so I'm going to be able to go to heaven. And the problem with that is it's not true. And that's not how it works. And the problem with that is, in the end, we are all sinners. We have all sinned. And we all deserve the wrath of God. That is the reality of the situation. None of us deserve heaven forever. There is none good. And Paul says, no, not one. Not even one. And we, listen, all of humanity is hopelessly lost in their sin. And they are groping in darkness. And most of them don't even understand or know about it. And if they're going, listen, if they're going to be saved, if they're going to know about it, someone's going to have to tell them. They need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not like nothing has been done to help them. God did everything he could, didn't he? And often you'll hear people say, well, how could a loving God send people to hell? Well, I want to tell you this. God has never sent a man to hell. In fact, we're the ones that have rejected him along the way and tried to live life our way along the way. That's what sin is, rejecting God's way and living life our way. We're the ones who have done that, and we are the ones that have separated ourselves from God. God didn't separate himself from us. We, as humanity, have separated ourselves from God, and God loves mankind even though they reject him. He loves them. The Bible says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is no redeeming quality about us. There's no redeeming quality about you to God. He's God, right? And he doesn't have to care, but he does. And he sees humanity, and he sees that they need to be saved. He sees that if they were to die the way that they are, they would spend eternity in hell forever. And God doesn't want that. In fact, the Bible says he is not willing, that any should perish. God does not want any human being to perish. And you know what he did? Everything he could. God, the Creator, became a human being. That's incredible. The Creator, the one who created our universe absolutely perfect, and then created mankind and gave them everything. And you know what happened? Mankind rejected God. And to be honest, totally messed up his creation. And the Bible says God is so high and supreme that he has to lower himself to see the earth. That's how high and holy he is. And God humbled himself so low to live on the earth. God did that. That's what it says in Philippians. He humbled himself to take on the form of humanity. The Creator God could have just left us to ourselves. Could have just left us live our own lives and could have ignored us and let us wreck our lives and then wreck our eternity. But he loves mankind and he became a human being, which is incredible. That's what we actually celebrate on Christmas, that the Creator God became a human being. That is a miracle. And then he lived for 33 and a half years. And then he humbled himself to die for us. And not just die. The God of creation died the most humiliating and the most painful of deaths on the cross. That's incredible. That's incredible. God didn't have to do any of that. But he did. Why? Because God knew. Because God knows who you are. And maybe other people don't know who you are. You know who you are. And God knows who you are. And God loves you. And God knows what you deserve. Not because he's mad at you, but because it's the reality. You deserve hell forever, and so do I. But God loves you. And he is not willing that any should perish. And so he became a human being. And died for you. What else could he do? Listen, you deserve the wrath of God. And Jesus became a human being and took the wrath of God. What else could he do other than force you? Which he will never do. Because God is not a tyrant. And he will not force you to accept what his son has done. But God, listen, God has done everything he possibly could to keep you out of hell forever. God has done everything he could to save your soul. God has done everything he possibly could to forgive you of your sins and allow you to be with him forever. And now it's up to us to accept that or not. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we ought never to get tired of that. Hey, if you've been saved, you ought never be tired of that. And when we saw right here, Robbie, accept Christ, the power of God into salvation, his eternity is different now. When he dies, he no longer will spend eternity in a place called hell. He will be with God forever and ever because of that. We ought never to get tired of that. Why? Because that's our mission. That's our mission. That's the church's mission. And if it's the church's mission, then as a member of, listen, if that's the mission of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell them what Christ has done for them, listen, I don't know why Jesus didn't just come down and rain little packets of the gospel on every human being that existed. God didn't choose to do that. What God did is he came and he died for us and he rose back from the grave and he commissioned his church to tell people what he did for mankind. And that's what we're here to do, to tell people about Jesus Christ and what he's done for them. And if that's the mission of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, then as a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, that is your mission. Is your mission? I mean, what else could be your mission? You say, Brother Chad, the gospel is not very important to me. What else is more important than that? Now, you might not ever say, Brother Chad, the gospel is just not very important. But by the way that we live, oftentimes we say that, don't we? And we don't make the gospel important to us. Because our flesh is there, and we're just sinful people. And if we don't make it a purpose, and if we don't do like Alex did, and we receive our mission, and we have to make it important to us. We have to make it important to us. Then it's not going to be important to us. But if we stop and think about it, what could be more important than changing the eternity of somebody else? So here's the thing. It's not a question of if your mission is this. It's not a question of if you have a mission. It's a question of this. Are you on a mission? You see? There's a difference from having a mission and being on a mission, right? To be on a mission means you receive the mission and you make that important to you and you're intense about it and you're excited about it and it's your passion. And the Apostle Paul was on a gospel mission. That's what this passage is all about. And we read the whole passage, and the phrase that I had you repeat to me in verse 9, I think is a central focus of this passage where Paul says this, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. What does that mean? Well, he's serving. What does that mean? Well, that means it's not his own mission. He's a servant. Paul's on a mission, but it's not a mission he created. It's not a mission he came up with himself. It's the mission that God gave him. And he's serving God. And he considered God his master. And his master gave him a mission. And so he's doing the mission. But then he says this, whom I serve with my spirit. That means that Paul has received the mission that God has given him, and he is doing that with all of his being. God has made that mission important to him. God has made that mission his most important mission in his life. Paul has created within himself a passion to complete and to carry out the mission that God has given to him. And nothing is going to distract him from that. And he's on a mission. He's undistractable. This is what his life's all about, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how do you know it's the gospel? Because it says, who I serve with my spirit in the gospel. In the gospel. The mission is this. Here's the mission of Paul, the Apostle Paul. And what he was telling the church at Rome is this. My mission, what I am about, my life is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To tell other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of his son. What Jesus has done for him. Paul was telling the Romans that his gospel mission was his passion. And he wholeheartedly gave himself to accomplishing that mission. Now, none of us have the apostolic calling that Paul did. None of us are an apostle to where that we're our mission, our specific called out task is to go around and tell others about the gospel of Christ necessarily. We're all here, but that doesn't change the fact that we're on a gospel mission. That doesn't change the fact that our passion, listen, our passion has to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has to be. What else would be? Now, am I telling you have to quit your job and go become a missionary or serve in the church your whole life? Not at all. But what I am telling you is this, is the gospel needs to be the most important thing to you. It's the only thing that's going to matter for eternity. And your role in that, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but it's not the same as the Apostle Paul, but we ought never, ever to lose our passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, I just consider this. If you're saved today, honestly, consider this. Why are you still here? Right? If you are saved, that means your sins are forgiven. That means if you were to die right now, you would be with Christ forever. I want you to seriously consider this. Why are you even here? Right? Why did God leave you here? Is it so that you can worship him better on this earth? Well, no. You'll worship him way better in heaven. Right? You'll be sinless there. You're the body of this flesh will be gone. Is it so that you can praise him? Well, no, not really, because you'll praise him better in heaven. Why are you here? It's so you can tell others. Right? That is why you're here. After you're saved, God could have just taken you right there. And your life would be better. Everything about it would be better. But God left you here. Why? So you can tell others. Others need to know. And who's going to tell them other than us? Other than those who have received the gospel? Other than those who have been forgiven? How are others going to know they need to be forgiven? Here's the reality. God has commissioned you. God has committed, if you're saved today, then your life's work and mission is to be involved in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, however that may look. And that looks different for everybody. But in the end, here's what our life ought to be about. The cross. You know what we're saying about choir? It's about the cross. It's about my sin. about how Jesus came to be born once so that we can be born again. And there are millions groping in darkness. Seriously, this isn't just something we talk about. It is the reality. There are souls, eternal souls in Fall City that don't know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm honestly asking you, how are they going to know if not us? Yeah. The gospel needs to be our mission. And the gospel was the mission of the Apostle Paul. And his life was all about it. Everything that he did flowed back to his passion and his mission to reach people with the gospel. And so Paul's gospel mission, it affected his life in a couple of specific ways that we'll get into today. The first thing is this, is he was thankful for the work of the gospel. His passion, his mission in life was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because the gospel was more important to him than anything on this earth, then it made him thankful for the work of the gospel. Look in verse 8. He said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." And so Paul was thankful because the gospel had reached Rome. Paul had heard what happened in Rome. Paul had heard that a church had started in Rome. And not only had a church started in Rome, but that church is growing, that church's faith is growing, and that church is reaching others. And everyone knows about the faith of the church at Rome. And that got Paul excited to hear that the gospel is being spread abroad in Rome. He was excited about that. He was thankful that there were people that didn't know God are now knowing and being introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was thankful for that. Yeah. Can I say this? If you're not thankful for the work of the gospel, then maybe we've gotten off our mission. You see? Yeah. Our gospel mission, yours personally and ours corporately as a church, should make us thankful for the work of the gospel. We should never, ever grow tired or apathetic of the message of the gospel. We should be excited when we hear a missionary or church planter and we read stories about men and women that they have reached. Hey, whenever they say, this person got saved, and that person got saved, and that person got saved, what that means is that those souls are eternally changed. That they will not spend eternity in a place called hell. They will spend eternity in heaven forever. And if that missionary was not there, there's a good chance that would not be the case. And we should be excited about that. And if we're not excited about that, then there's a problem. It means we've probably gotten off our mission. It means we've been distracted from our mission. It means that we've allowed for other things to be more important than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, am I saying that nothing else should be important in your life? Am I saying ignore your family, ignore your job, ignore everything? Not at all. But what I am saying is there should be nothing in your life that distracts you from making the gospel most important to you. We should always be excited to hear when someone accepts the gospel. And that when Robbie came down here, and I am excited to say when I mentioned that there were people crying, there are people excited, and I am thankful for that. That means that there are some people here that are excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you're sitting here and you're not being honest between you and God, I don't know anyone's heart. But if you heard that Robbie got saved and that did nothing for you, that means you might be getting off your mission a little bit. And you might need to ask yourself and pray to God and ask, what is it that is in my life that I have allowed to be more important than a little boy's eternity being changed? If we aren't excited about the gospel, then we've been distracted. But you say, Brother Chad, I've been in church for all my life, and it's just something I hear about. The Apostle Paul did nothing but talk about the gospel. He was around it every day. And he's seen people over and over and over get saved and grow and grow, and churches planted, and never, ever, this is toward the end of his ministry, and he was still pumped about the gospel. We ought never, ever get apathetic or grow tired. But I think we do. And I'm not bringing condemnation this morning. I'm not trying to tell you you're a bad person. I'm not trying to tell you, I'm always excited about the gospel, and you're not. That's not what I'm doing at all. There are times in my life where it's not as important to me as it should be. And that's sad. And it's because we do allow things in our life. Maybe that shouldn't be there at all, or maybe we allow things to be more important to us than the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just, when we say that, it shouldn't compute to our minds that we let things be more important than the fact that God himself came and died to save sinners from hell forever. That shouldn't make sense to us. But it is true, isn't it, that sometimes we let things become more important in a lot of ways. And it distracts us personally from our mission, and it can distract a church from their mission. There are churches sometimes that let renovations like this become more important than the gospel of Christ, and there's bickering and fighting about it. Now, in our church, I'm thankful we didn't really have anything like that. You guys are all on board, and that's a blessing. But I'm just saying this, that sometimes we can get some petty attitudes around, and it can just, and we can make that, we can allow things like that to derail us from our mission. And we'll be in heaven one day saying, yeah, I wasn't as excited about people being saved because they didn't like the color of carpet. What's more important? Well, listen, we have a mission here, and we cannot afford to be distracted from our mission. Sometimes church members get into just personal conflicts, and it affects the entire church. How do I know that? Paul's written about it to churches in Corinth and Philippi and others, that, hey, there's two or more, there's a conflict, and we need to deal with this conflict and get it resolved. Why? Because, listen, the gospel is more important than this. And we need to get past this. We have a mission to accomplish. But a lot of times we let things creep in, and we allow it to be more important. Well, how do I know it's more important? Because we allow it to get us off track from reaching souls for Christ. We ought never to do that. And Paul was excited. And Paul was excited for the gospel around the world. Paul had never been to Rome, by the way. And I didn't take a whole lot of time explaining the context, because I know some of you would just roll your eyes and just kidding. But we could have spent a long time explaining. But here's the thing: is Paul had never been to Rome before, and Paul wanted to go see Rome. We're going to have to talk about that in a second. But Paul had never been there. But Paul heard about what was going on there, and Paul was excited. And so his gospel mission made him desire to. I'm sorry. Paul's gospel mission made him excited about the work of the gospel, even where he had never been. And so the next point is this, is Paul's gospel mission, his desire, his passion for the gospel made him desire to be a part of the work of the gospel. Hey, he was excited that other people were being involved with the work of the gospel. He was excited to hear that church at Rome was doing the work, and that they were spreading the gospel, and that church had kept the main thing, and they were telling people the gospel of Christ, and they were excited about it. And how do we know? Because their faith was spread abroad. Everyone knew that was the church that preached the gospel, and Paul was excited about that, that others were doing that work. But you know what else he was excited about? He was excited that he gets to be part of the work. He wanted to be there. He heard about what the gospel was doing, and Paul really bad wanted to be a part of it. Look at verse 9. He says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve in the spirit of the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Who's you? Well, this is the church at Rome. And Paul, again, he's excited about the church. He prays constantly about that church at Rome. But what's he praying for? Verse 10, "Making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." Paul wanted a piece of it. Paul wanted to be a part of it. Paul heard about what the gospel was doing in Rome, and Paul wanted to be involved with it. Yeah, he was excited about it. He'd never been able to be to Rome. And he'll say it a few different ways in our passage we won't really go to, but he's like, listen, it's not like I haven't tried. I want to be there, but God has led me here, and I have a work here and where I am now, and I'm telling people about the gospel here, but I really bad want to be a part of what the gospel is doing in Rome. He was excited. He wanted to establish them. He wanted to teach them the gospel. It's what in verse 11, and really establish them in the gospel. He wanted to encourage that church in the gospel and help them, and then also be encouraged by that church. And not only that, but he wanted to go and win people to Christ himself. Look at verse 13. He says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come hither unto you. To come unto you, but I was led hither too." Why? Why did he want to go? "That I might have some fruit among you also." I want to be a part of what's going on there. I want to reach people for Christ at Rome. I want to play a role. He was excited. He says, "I'm a debtor." He viewed himself as a debtor in verse 14. "A debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise." As an apostle, he was the apostle of Christ, and there's a whole office that goes with that we're not going to get into, but he viewed himself as a debtor to every human being, is what he's saying, both to the barbarians and to the Greeks, to the wise, to the unwise. Paul wanted to tell people about the gospel of Christ. It was his mission. He said in verse 15, so as much as is in me is, with his whole being, everything about his life, he wanted to tell people about the gospel of Christ. Ready to preach the gospel. Again, we're not apostles, and I'm not saying that you need to go to Rome and all these other places. And I'm not saying that when you have a missionary letter read and they're talking about what God's doing, that you should have a desire to want to go to South Africa or go to Japan or whatever, or even to Leawood, Kansas. What I am saying is this. You ought to be excited and have a desire to be a part in some way, however that looks, in the gospel of Christ, in the work of the gospel of Christ. And we need to be excited that others are doing it. And even in our church, there are people that are stepping up and that are taking ministry and are really working and are excited about God and are excited about what God is doing. And you should be excited about that, that God is growing people in our church. And God I remember when I came here, if something was going to be done, it was either Pastor or Miss Melissa or me. That was about it. Or Brother Eric and Miss Marilyn. But then that was about it. And then we would grow and we had new converts and people were becoming saved and baptized. But, you know, it takes a little while for them to really catch what's going on here and get involved. And so the church was growing, but still all the work was pretty much a handful of people. But over the last few years, God has really blessed and God has really gotten a hold of some people's hearts. And people have become excited, and people have had their soul set on fire, and they want to be a part. And they've seen this, and they've seen what God's doing at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Hey, they've experienced it because they've been saved through the work of the gospel at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Or some of us have come and they've already saved, but you've come here and you've seen what God is doing with the gospel at Valley Avenue Baptist Church. And that's good. And I think you should be excited about what God's doing. But there is another step that Paul took. And that if we're excited, if our mission is the gospel of Christ, then it should cause us to have a desire to be involved. We should take our calling to spread the gospel seriously. Like Paul, we should give our entire being to the gospel mission that God has called us to. We need to be involved with serving and giving to our local church, so that church, this church, Valley Avenue Baptist Church, so that it can continue to reach people, continue to grow. Now, I'm not talking about just having a lot of people or having a lot of money or having a big building. None of that really matters. But here's what does matter. We need to reach people for Christ. That's what we're all about, isn't it? That's what Valley Avenue Baptist Church is all about. And if Valley Avenue Baptist Church is going to reach people for Christ, then Valley Avenue Baptist Church is going to have to reach people for Christ. Well, what do you mean? That's you! Yeah. If you're a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, you are Valley Avenue Baptist Church. It's our job. It's not just the pastor's job. It's not just Miss Melissa's job or my job or Miss Chelsea's job or Brother Tim's job or Miss Cindy's job or anyone else's job or Brother Eric or Miss Marilyn. Listen, it's all of our job. We all have to play a part in this. Members of Valley Avenue Baptist Church are the called out assembly, who has been called out to do a purpose. And our purposes look different. And our roles look different. There are a lot of ministries in our church that you can be a part of. And whatever part that you play, that is your role in reaching people for Christ. Paul even a couple times talks about the church as being a body. And a body has a lot of body parts. It has eyeballs, it has feet, it has mouth, it has hands. And they all look different, and they all do different things. But what are they all doing? They're doing what the head wants. What's the head? Christ himself. That's what Paul said. Christ is the head of the church, and we are the body of Christ. You see? What does that mean? Well, if the body is not doing what the head wants it to do, there's a problem. Well, the mouth and the eyes are working. Well, that's good, but we want to walk too. You see? And we want, listen, what I'm trying to say is we all, listen, all of us need to do our part in the body of Christ, in reaching people. If we're going to be as effective as we need to be, then we need to be involved with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, how do you do that? You got to get excited. You got to get excited. Well, how do I be a part? Well, look around. There's a lot to be a part. I mean, when you come into this church, in this church property, which is a beautiful property, I'm thankful for it, and you see the grass and it's not overgrown, that's because people have become part of the grounds ministry and keep up the lawn and make it look nice. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, if a guest comes in and they see that the yard is a mess and no one really cares, well, they're automatically not going to be as excited about coming to Valley Avenue Baptist Church. You see? And it's a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about part of the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a family comes in and they have babies. And a lot of times, babies and church services don't go well together. And it helps a lot if someone can watch the babies during church. That's the nursery ministry. And you might be saying, Brother Chad, I'm not teaching these babies the gospel. Okay, but you're part of the work of the gospel. Why? Because you watch the babies and the mom is in the service and she can focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the kids, sometimes they don't understand adults very well in main service. And so we have Sunday school where Sunday school teachers can teach them on their level. And they have helpers that help the teachers. And I'm just saying, everything we do, remember, what's the purpose of Valley Avenue Baptist Church? The gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's a place for charity and there's a place for helping those that are in need. But in the end, everything we're about is reaching people for Christ. Every ministry that we have, cleaning the building, media ministry, and the sound. I mean, on and on it can go. And by the way, it's not like we have nothing else to do. The pastor and I have a long list of things and that we would like to do to be more effective in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here's the reality. We can't do it all. We all have to pitch in, don't we? We all have to be a part of this thing. And if we're going to, the more that people get involved, the more we're able to accomplish and the more people will be reached for Christ. I know this isn't a subject that we like to talk about, and pastor doesn't talk about it unless he has to, but there's also the thing of giving. That if we're going to have a church building and property and lights paid and bills paid and all of these things happen, then the church is going to have to do that. And God's plan for that is the tithing of everything that we get. All of our increase, if whatever we receive, we have to realize this, that it's all from God to begin with, and then God asks for 10% back. And then you give that to him, and he's able to use that in the church, and the church is able to be more effective in reaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We all, listen, here's what I'm trying to say. We all have a role to play. But here's where it all starts. We have to make the gospel our mission. We have to make the gospel our mission. Valley Avenue Baptist Church, as a church, needs to make the gospel our mission. And if you're not a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, and you want to be a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church, then you need to talk to pastor about that so that you can be a part of the work to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you are a member of Valley Avenue Baptist Church and you're not as involved as you'd like to be, well, then ask around. We have plenty that we can give you to do. But here's what you need to do. Understand your mission. You have a mission. You do. I promise you that. Why? You're saved. If you're saved this morning, you have a mission. What is it? Reach people with the gospel. How does that look? I don't know yet. But I promise you this, you have a mission, and if you get on a mission, you know what I'm talking about? If you take this seriously, and you make your mission your passion, and if you get excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think we're going to be able to find something for you to do, amen? But we all have to, listen, we all have to work together. And I'm thankful our church is a church that's excited. Our church is a church that's growing. Our church is a serving church, but we ought never to lose that. And we every day we need to make a decision. And we have the purpose in our mind, and we have to make this a reality. The gospel is my mission. We have to make that decision. Because what else are we going to do? There's a lot that we can do. But there's nothing like being a part of God's mission and bringing Christ to this world who, again, is groping. We're the ones who can't come. If not us, who? Not us. God, thank you so much. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you again for sending your Son to die for us. Thank you, Lord, for your love for all of humanity. And it says in your word that you love the entire world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We're thankful for your love and your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be part of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor who is faithful and dedicated to you and to your word and to your mission to reach people with the gospel. And thank you for Valley Avenue Baptist Church and the excitement that's already here. And I am thankful. But God, I pray that you help us to continue that. I pray that you help us to continue to move forward and reach people for you. And Lord, if there is one here that doesn't know you as Savior, if there's one here that has never accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, maybe they know about it. Even as Robbie said this morning, it's in their head, but Lord, maybe not quite reach their heart. I pray that you would do that work this morning and convict, and we'll give them the courage to come and get it settled this morning. Lord, we love you. Christ in my prayer. And then let's all stand together. The organ's going to play through.